you would cleanse us and refresh us. That you would just supply our needs this morning, Father. And not ours only, Lord, but the needs of all of those that, well, Lord, that need to be saved. Lord, that need to be edified. The brethren that need to be, including myself, Lord, given a shake or a thick ear or, Lord, just an arm around the shoulder or, Lord, you know what we need, and I pray that you would supply our needs. I know we're just at the very starting line of 2022, Lord, and there's so many things that you know are in store for us. Lord, we don't know, but we can know you. We can know the man that has the future in the palm of his hand. And we just thank you, Lord, for loving us and for supplying us such a great salvation. Lord, for keeping an eye on us, for ministering to us, for giving us a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Lord, for all of the things that you've done for us and continue to do for us. And Lord, I pray you please and thank you for them. But I pray you too, Father, that you'd forgive us where we've let you down. Please, Lord. In the meantime, Father, I pray for, and we ask for your presence with us this morning. And Lord, that you would just bless this time around your word. And not just for us, but for our brothers and sisters right the way across the world. Please supply our needs, Lord, this day. For those that's not well, I pray that you would put them back on their feet. And think on Andy and Kate Cairns, Lord, and Monica's mom, Pat, or Steve, Pat too, and Lord, for Mary Ann, for my dad, Lord, there's a whole bunch of us, and we certainly need you. Sick or well, Lord, we definitely need you. We love you and praise you, and we just thank you that we can come before you, and we can ramble, or we can list, or we can just spend time in your presence, Lord. But we just thank you, and we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Let's take our wee hymn books this morning, and we're going to start with number 11 in the wee hymn books, the wee black hymn books. Number 11 is Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Immortal, invisible, God only
fee. That's good packing. That was good singing. 343 in the big hymn book. 343. 343. Revive us again. And if you're fit, we'll stand as we sing.
Determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that they should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. For if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. So that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you, and ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the fruit of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes forgive I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from them hence into Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Saviour of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet Saviour of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the Saviour of death unto death, and to the other the Saviour of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sinners, but of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just make sure we don't get any more chimes. There we go. That's that. And that's that. Can't really say everybody turn your phones off so you don't interrupt the service when mine is already pinged twice, but there you go. Just want to remind you of our prayer list. It'll be updated next week. There's a lot going on, and please do continue to pray for Please pray for Ling and Frank as they travel. Sorry, I'm just looking over these quite quickly. Please do pray for David's wee girl. She seems to be doing better. That fella Andy is in an open ward, but I think I mentioned that to you last service. Please do also pray for Pearl, if you would. She's suffering from some clots in her legs, for Monica's sister Nina. My dad is going in on Wednesday to get his other cataract surgery on his other eye. So he's looking, it's not very often you look forward to going into hospital, but he's looking forward to getting that done. And there's a wee woman, Kate Cairns, mentioned her at the beginning of the service in prayer. She was a neighbour of Billy's before Billy passed away, and then her husband, he passed away as well. They were both confined to wheelchairs. She basically was told she's got COVID and she's up on the galvan at the moment. So please do pray for her if you would. She needs to get saved. Spoken to her many times on the subject, but just a hardened Church of Irelander. But just keep praying for her. Every single person that's saved was once unsaved. They were an unsaved Presbyterian, Church of Ireland, Roman Catholic, Methodist, Mormon, atheist, you name it. We were all once unsaved. And of course, you know, there's plenty going on in the world as well. There's all our governments and everybody else needs to be prayed for big time. So don't forget Steve and Pat as well. Steve's having a bit of a tough time with angina at the moment, and we miss him. Christy will be travelling home in about 2.5 weeks, and hopefully it'll not be too long after that till Taylor's flying home. And I think that's about that. If there's anything else, let us know. I think I have everybody down for private prayer requests. Please do pray for those, if you would. The Lord knows what they are, and we would appreciate your prayers.
Just keep William and Rachel and the baby in prayer, because William and Rachel still testing positive.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, we pray for them anyway. They're on our list of folks to pray for, but didn't actually know that. It's worth remembering. Amen. Right. Anything else that we need to be thinking about? Okay. Would you mind just praying for us? Well, if you would, brother.
Yeah.
Let's fire our heads.
Father, thank you for bringing us safely to the new year, Lord. Normally we put the first fruits of our efforts and our money and increase it to you, Lord. May our worship be always unto you, Lord, to extol your love and to extol your the death of your Son on the cross for us, that he died to save us from sin, Lord, and to glorify you as well, Lord. We've had some problems with Frank and Dr. Shannon's in France, the Lord from Manitoba, keep him safe and well, Lord, and bring him safe and securely back to Ireland and the UK after their holidays, Lord. Keep him safe from COVID and all the rest, Lord. With Leonard and this lazy man, the Lord from Manitoba, keep him safe and well, Lord, and keep him minister unto him as well, Lord. With Charlotte and Colin, Lord, the Lord from Manitoba, Lord, and just at the point in time, the Lord from Manitoba, Lord, and help them and keep him safe and well, Lord. With Andrew and Julie, as Andrew's in the High Dependency Ward, Lord, keep them safe well and well, Lord. Heal them, Lord, and Lord, save both them and their family, and grief them, and turn up to them, and fill them with many troubles as well, Lord. With Esther, Lord, help her in her many illness, Lord, they may heal her, Lord. Lord, bring them to church at the point time, if possible, Lord, and bless her and keep her as well, Lord. With Christine Taylor, Lord, so the states, fill them for many trouble, help them with the paperwork. Help him with Christine and his work and also basically his PhD, Lord. Help him to complete it, Lord, and fill from any trouble, take any worries or any hardship away from him, keep him safe from him as well, Lord. With Steve and Pat, Lord, with Pat and Steve, their diabetes healed, Lord, and Lord, make it easier to live with, Lord, and with Steve and his angina attacks, Lord, may we just severely, Lord, heal him, Lord, and fill from any trouble as well, Lord. With me, Lord, as well, heal her, Lord, and fill from any trouble, Lord. And our illness, Lord, that he might heal her, might be partially, but love from that. With also John Bradfield, that's going to the hospital for the cataracts, Lord, may be straightforward, give wisdom and skill to the protectors and to the doctors, Lord, that may remove the cataracts as well, without any trouble, without any damage to his eyes, Lord, and bless him and keep him as well. With this day, Lord, help us and keep us, Lord, and we do everything except on this side, Lord, and Lord, provide for us. Keep us, Lord, for Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Let's take our hymn books again, big ones this time. We'll sing another song or two. Make a joyful noise. Hymn number 260. 260, he is able to deliver thee.
Grand this thing.
If that was rugby, the enemy, the other team would have gone straight through and everybody was looking around. Amen. Right, now we've got that practice out of the way. 173, and then we'll open our Bibles. 173, love lifted me. Amen. Better cry.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deep in sin within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, no saved by mine.
Sunshine whenever we were driving to, I was going to say to work this morning. I was driving to work, you were driving to church. But there you go, that's how quickly it can change. It's Northern Ireland. All we need now is a little bit of ice and snow, and we will have had our whole year's weather in one day. Norman's saying, don't be joking about that. Amen. John chapter 14. I want to spend a little bit of time this morning on the subject of the numbers don't lie. The numbers don't lie. John chapter 14, beginning at verse number 1. These are some precious promises to whoever reads them, actually. Anyway, let's just read them. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse number 6 is our text. A very well known verse. We should all know that. Maybe not necessarily knowing that it's from John 14:6. For the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Another quick word of prayer, and then we'll dive right in. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. Thank you for the roof and the walls being in place, Lord, and sealed and protected. And, Lord, for the work that has gone into keeping us warm and dry. I pray that you would bless this time around your word. I pray also, Lord, that you would use Bible verses, hymns, scripture verses, the preaching of a sermon, Lord, to speak to those that don't yet know you. Please convict greatly, Lord, now in this little bit time of peace between New Year celebrations and the actual starting of work. Please, Lord, convict greatly and save souls. We just love you and thank you, Father, and pray that be with Stan and the folks in Bangor, Grace Bible, Lord, and Black Creek, Baptist churches, and all those, Lord, that are standing and open your word and preaching the full counsel of it, Lord. Bless us, I pray. And we ask it in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. You might be thinking to yourself, what has this got to do with numbers? But verse number 6, first of all, I just want for you to understand that these are a promise to you. In the same way as the Lord was speaking to his disciples those 2,000 years ago, the Lord is speaking to you now. And he's saying to you that don't let your heart be troubled. I know sometimes there's things that we need to do, and we can keep a list of them in our heads, but if we dwell upon them too long, we can start to worry about them, and they can gain power over us. The Lord said, don't. By all means, remember the things you have to do, but don't be worrying. Trust in me. He said, in eternity, there is a place for you to live. There's a mansion for you in heaven. And he also says, if it wasn't like that, I wouldn't have told you. I would have told you. If it was different, I would have told you. He says, I'm going to make a place for you. And someday, I'll come back and get you again. And regardless of what anybody else says, or this is our Bible verse this evening, or this morning, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'll come to those in just a second. The rest of these verses, more promises. We don't have to see God with our own eyes before we believe in God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, if you've heard of me, if you've read my words, you've seen God. You've heard God's word. And it's the same for you, don't forget as well, whenever you're preaching and teaching and living for God Almighty, people are going to see God in you, or they're going to see the devil in you. It depends how you're living. But it's important that they see the Lord. And again, some promises that the works that Jesus did, you'll be able to do. Now, that doesn't mean feeding the 5,000, because if someone could do something about the weather, I would certainly ask them to do something about the weather this morning, and we know for a fact that Jesus could control the weather, but not so much the, we'll call them quality, as in magnificence of the things that Jesus did, like raising the dead. I've never come across someone raising the dead at a funeral. I've never come across someone feeding thousands and tens of thousands of people from a packed lunch. And I've never come across people growing arms and legs back at the end of some of these, in quotes, healing services. But the Lord said, and the most important thing is the words of eternal life, he said, you'll have more time to do these things than I had. I got 3 years. You can have more time than this to preach the gospel, to point souls to the foot of the cross. And those are the promises. And those are not just for that piece of paper, and they're not for somebody else, they're for you and me. We can do these things. We just keep our eyes on the Lord and keep thinking about him and reading his word and going before him in prayer. You'll find out the wherewithal to do all of that and so much more. Anyway, verse number 6. We're talking about numbers. And there's two what they call definite articles, I and the, mentioned in verse number 6. And it's Jesus. He said, I, in other words, me, and there's none like me, and there's not, and I don't mean that in a boastful sense. He says, I am the way. It's me, just me, and there's one way, and that's through Jesus. This is all about the number one. There is one God, there is one Savior, there's one sacrifice for sins, there's one way to heaven, and there is a truth. And I'm not talking about one of many truths, there is the truth, we'll say, maybe that's better. The truth of the way everything works. It's revealed to us in the Word of God by parables, and all you have to do is have a wee read at it, and not take too long before it starts sinking into you. And there's no other way to gain eternal life or a life worth living in this world except through Jesus Christ. No one's going to heaven, the Lord said, unless you get saved. That's what it says. There's one way, the. I have got a bunch of numbers that I would like to give you this morning. The next number I would like to speak to you of is the number 12. And there were 12 apostles, as we all know. There's a lot of numbers. I'm sure we could go into the 6 days of creation. I never put that down in my notes, but we might mention it later on. There were 12 apostles, 12 men that were looking for the coming of the Messiah, who were quite literally ready to leave everything and follow him. And he found them, and he picked them. And the Bible also says that they will sit on 12 of the 24 thrones of the children of Israel in the 1,000-year reign. 12. If we were to go on, and that 12 apostles is just a wee throw in there because we're talking about the Lord in his day and his 12 apostles. There were also many disciples. Remember, he sent out 70 to go and to preach and to heal and they came back rejoicing that even they said the devils were subject to their names. But there's another 70 that is much more dearer and closer to our hearts. And that's the 70. The Bible says, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. What I would say to you is, in the grand old scheme of things, if you look after yourself, you'll get 70 good years in this world. And if you plan doing anything for God, or indeed even for yourself, it would be a good idea to get it packed into those years, because after those years are done, if you're not saved, you're going to spend the rest of eternity screaming your lungs out in hell in the lake of fire, or you're going to spend the rest of eternity walking the streets of gold in a new and a glorified body serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever you're planning to do, now would be the time to do it. As the Bible says, today is the day of salvation, now is the accepted time. Excuse me. We're going the whole way back to number one again. And there's one question There's one question that everybody needs to answer, and in fact everybody does need to answer. And that is, will you accept Christ as your Savior? Because it says in Romans chapter 10 that if whenever you're asked that question, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's it. It's not a lifetime of service in the church. It's not a fortune of money put into the plate. And it's not like Mother Teresa and everybody was greatly mourning the loss of this great, in quotes, Christian woman that had given all of her 80 plus years to serve people in India and to one thing and another. I bet if she died a good Catholic, she got a real surprise when she opened up her eyes in hell being in torments, because it's not about what you can do and it's not about what you can give. It's about what Jesus did. Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, that's Jesus, shall not be shamed. There's one question. And regardless of who you are, your age, your ethnicity, your language, your health, your status on Facebook or Twitter, this is a question that everybody has to answer. Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? And that's it. Your life takes two very different directions depending upon your answer. Now, I have got two 100%, one of which represents a many, and the other of which represents a few. And it comes from, you'll recognize this as soon as we start, Matthew chapter 7, where it says, for you to enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. In other words, people can literally do anything they want, and that will take them on the broad road that leads to hell and destruction. And 100% of everybody that finishes their life on the broad road that leads to destruction end up in hell in the lake of fire. 100%. There is no... what was it? There was a film that came out many years ago. I think it was R.I.P.D. It was about this plan to get all of the souls that were in hell out and roaming about the earth causing all sorts of bother. There is no plan. The plan to get everybody out of hell is to make sure that nobody gets into hell. And that's why Jesus came and gave his life on the cross of Calvary. Likewise, a verse later, it tells us that straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. And again, 100% of all of those souls that find themselves, have set themselves on the straight and narrow road, will go to heaven. And there is no ifs, ands, or buts. Once you get saved, you're going to heaven. I've got another one for you. And this, because no matter how many people get saved in this world, it always comes down to you. It might be you versus the rest of the world. It might be you versus your family. It might be you and your family. Who knows? But it all comes down to you. Because it is you that's going to have to make the decisions in your life. Even if that decision is not to make any decisions, it's down to you. And I was reminded of, does anyone remember in the book of Joshua how the walls of Jericho came tumbling down after they blew the trumpet on the seventh day after running around them once every day, and I think it was seven times on the last day. And they blew their trumpets and the walls all fell down except for one house. One house. The word of God says in Joshua chapter 6, the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Regardless of the trouble that's coming your way, there is still a salvation to be had if you will admit your sins and trust in Christ as your Savior. That doesn't mean that immediately the world is going to appreciate you loving the Lord Jesus Christ, but it does mean that the Lord will love you because you love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We all know that way back in Joshua, there was a scarlet thread hanging from the walls at Rahab's house, and all the rest of the walls fell down except for that, the walls to that one house. And she and everybody that was in her house was saved. And that's God's promise to you. That was the same promise that was made to the children of Israel whenever the Lord said to Moses, put the blood of the slain lamb on the doorposts and on the lintels, and when I see the blood, in the words of the song, I'll pass over you. When God, literally, when God saw the thread hanging from Rahab's house, the destruction that visited the rest of the city left Rahab's house alone. And that is God's promise to you and me as individuals. There will be a judgment coming for the whole world. But when God sees the blood applied to you, he will, that judgment will pass over you and you will walk the streets of gold. Anyway, I know sometimes that whenever we're living our Christian lives, it can seem a bit lonely. And we might want to kick up a bit and wonder why it's just us that turns up in church or reads your Bibles. Is it only us that's calling out people's names? And I got to thinking about the 7,000. It sounds like so many entries for a famous movie. Does anyone remember the 7,000 from the book of 1 Kings? Elijah was having a tough time. He was persecuted, it seemed like, by the whole country. He had just escaped the pass through the desert and holed up in a wee cave. He was feeling sorry for himself. He said, Lord, there's only me left in the whole country. I'm the only one that seems to be out there doing anything. I'm the one that the king and queen Ahab are coming after. I'm the one who has a price on his head. Woe is me. And sometimes it can feel like that. Do you remember what the Lord said? I'm going to read it out because he says it much better than I ever could. The Lord said, it's not that bad. I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. There are other people out there. It might seem like there's only a few here, but there's a few here, and there's a few there, and there's a few somewhere else, and there are other people that love the Lord. You're not on your own. And even if it seems like you are, don't forget, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, who is with you, Christian, every moment of every day, and will keep you and help you if you ask him. Now, on the subject of depending upon other people, does anyone remember the 10 righteous people that could have saved two cities? Many years ago, not that many years ago from Elijah, but many, many years ago in the book of Genesis, the Lord came down to this world to see what all these cries were that were coming up to him. And he was on his way to Sodom and Gomorrah, the names of which are synonymous for probably one of the most dangerous lifestyles that a man or a woman will ever engage in, the homosexual and lesbian lifestyle. And they were outright abusing children. They were probably lying, cheating, murdering and killing because they had no problem, people of this ilk, actually killing people. And the Lord came down and he met with Abram. He said, I'm on my way to Sodom and Gomorrah. I have heard there's a lot of bad stuff going on there. Didn't you write it? He was giving Abraham a chance to intercede on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham started with, he started with 100. Lord, if there were 100 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you judge it? And the Lord said no. He said, what about 90, 80, 70? Did you ever see one of those guys? I'm not going to, not for £100, not even for £90. No, not for 80 or 70 or 60, not even for 50. Not for 40, not for 30, not for 20, but for 10 people. I will save the whole of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's not the way Abraham did it. You don't do that to God. He pleaded with God and he interceded with God because he knew that there was Lot and his wife, that's two. Two daughters, that's four. And another three children that were married, that was six. There should have been six righteous people because Christian people surely don't get married to non-Christian people. And the Lord said, for 10 righteous people, and Abraham thought he had the town saved. And this is where it's very important that you pull your weight as a Christian. Even if it seems like a lot of work. Because there weren't 10 righteous people. Whenever Lot had the two angels come in, and even as they were there the night, the men of Sodom, they wanted to take an attack and sexually assaulted the two angels. And such was the decrepitude of Lot's beliefs that he was going to offer his two daughters in their stead. But Lot went and spoke to his other children, and they laughed at him, and they mocked him. And so there were only four, we'll call them righteous people, but you know what I mean, four people that were saved in the whole of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah, we know, had fire and brimstone rain down on them, and they were all destroyed. And that's why it's important that we toe the line in case it ever comes to the point where we are supposed to be one of those 10 righteous people. There was another time as well, and this is what happens when people step up. Does anyone remember the 300? And don't quote me Jack Snyder's movie, okay? It's not that movie. It's not the 300 Spartans that defended Thermopylae Pass that was made into quite a bloody movie. It's the 300 men that were whittled down from, I don't know, many thousands, tens of thousands, that were coming out to fight against the enemies of Israel. And God said, hold on a wee second. There's far too many men here. Whenever this battle is fought and won, people are going to have to understand that it was me that did all the fighting, not you. And so he said, how many men are afraid? And a lot of men went back home. You guys go home. We don't need you here. The Lord is in the process of getting himself an army. And then he said to all the others, right, get you down to the river, and whoever laps the water like a dog out of his hand, I think that was it, I'll take those guys. And out of the tens of thousands that went to fight, there was 300. God said, with those 300, I will win the war. What an opportunity to be standing right in the middle of God working. We all know the story. That was in Judges chapter 7. Everyone that lappeth the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him they shall set by itself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down on his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped putting their hand to their mouth were 300 men. And the Lord sent all the rest of them home. And the battle was won with 300 men. And they had a trumpet in one hand and a lantern in the other. And they won the battle, not with swords, not with fancy strategy. The Lord won the battle because he had already put a fear into their hearts. And whenever they saw the lanterns and whenever they heard the trumpets, they ran with such confusion that they actually killed each other in their camp. And God won the battle just with the 300. A tiny fraction, a tiny minority of all of the people that were about in the day. Sometimes it pays to be part of the 300. You might not even have to get your hands dirty, but sometimes it pays just even to turn up. Now, we're coming towards the end of the message, and I appreciate your indulgence this morning. I want to speak of 70. 70 years of judgment, and it's a number that turns up quite a lot. 70 years, it talks about punishment in Jeremiah 29. It told the people time and time again, because you have rejected the Lord Jesus, because you have forgotten his Sabbaths, because you've turned away from him, you are going to be 70 years in Babylon. And after that, when you've learned your lesson, two generations later, I will come and visit you and redeem you. And we all know that that's exactly what happened. Great little verses in 2 Peter chapter 3. And it says, the day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. And that doesn't mean anything other than God is faithful. And whenever he says something, it's going to happen. Might not happen tomorrow. Might not happen the day after. Might be 70 years later. In some cases, it might be 483 years later. But it is going to happen. God's faithful. We're back to the number one again, just for a moment. Has anyone ever heard of the rapture, the great carrying away? It's a doctrine that is mentioned many, many times in the Word of God. It's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter, I think it's 15. It's mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's mentioned also, not obliquely, if you like, in other portions of the Word of God. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, talked about 70 weeks. 70 weeks of years being declared upon the children of Israel. The first 483 of those, the first 69, said, from the beginning of the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem until the Lord rides in into the same Jerusalem would be 483 years. And so from Nehemiah to then was 69 weeks of years of those 70 weeks of years. And then we have the tribulation and the great tribulation. Now the Bible says, and that's 7 weeks, or 7 years of probably the bloodiest, deadliest, rottenest, filthiest times that mankind is ever going to see. It hasn't happened yet, even though we've been through dark times, but the folks that hate Jesus are being prepared for it. So prepared, in fact, that even some people that turn up at church and claim Christ as their Savior will have the wool pulled over their eyes. But that one week that is still to come will be directly preceded by the rapture. 1 week. That's 7 years. If you read Revelation chapter 6 right the way through to Revelation chapter 16, you will read of 21 judgments, the bowl, the vial, and the trumpet judgments that God is going to visit upon the earth. And it's not pretty. Some of them are completely self-inflicted. Some of them are certainly divine, and mankind could have absolutely no influence over them. 21 judgments. Do you know how many times the wrath of God is mentioned in the book of Revelation in those chapters? Something like a dozen times. The wrath of God. The wrath of God. The wrath of God all the way through from one to another, from chapter 6 to chapter 16. I want for you to know this one thing. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. At the very end of John 23, and we were reading that not that very long ago, the Bible talks about the unbeliever and says that the wrath of God abides with them. That means before the wrath of God can be poured out in this world, we have to be removed. And as the Bible also says, when he that letteth will let is taken out of the way, then the wrath of God's going to fall. That means us. That means us. There's one rapture. And every single soul that trusts in Jesus Christ, when the trumpets will sound, will be caught up to heaven to be with the Lord forever and ever. Just the one. Although, with the way many Christians live today, and might have to come two or three times just to get them and all the stuff that they're so attached to, but there's just the one. Just the one. And after that 7 years of tribulation, there's a 1,000. There's a 1,000 years when the Lord reigns upon the earth. The Battle of Armageddon is going to take place at the end of the 7 years. The Antichrist will be, and the beast and all, they'll be thrown into the lake of fire. The devil himself, he'll be locked up for 1,000 years, and we'll have peace. We'll have 1,000 years of the way the world could have been, with the Lord's law as the law on the face of the earth. You might think, but the Bible's not that big, and what laws are we supposed to observe? Well, it's in the first 5 books of the Bible. A lot of people's going to get a lot of surprises. There'll not be any loopholes. There'll not be any exceptional circumstances. The law applies to everybody. And the Bible talks about those that love him and trust him reigning with him for 1,000 years. Whether that means you give the orders on how Derry gets built, or Belfast gets built, or another wee village, Drumahoe, gets built, or whether you're down there yourself in your robes of righteousness with a glorified body that can never die, get old or cold, absolutely indestructible, and I am sure immensely strong. Don't forget, one angel of the Lord killed 180,000 soldiers in one night. Immensely strong and immensely fast. We will be able to give people paradise on earth, where everyone gets a fair shake, where everyone is treated equally, maybe for the first time in the whole history of mankind. But at the end of that, unfortunately, we all know that the devil is released for a little while, and all those that grumped and groaned about everybody being treated equally and right and having a full belly and the Lord loving them and God's rules being here and being equal to everyone, they said, do you know what? I liked it better in those old stories when we could tell people what to do. Whenever we had the power of life and death in our hands. I liked it better back then. I'm going to throw my lot in with Gog and Magog and the devil. The Bible talks about as they surround the camp of the saints and the holy city, that fire comes down from heaven and consumes all of those that turn their face against the Lord. Then the Bible records that that's it. The earth is raised in a fervent heat, it says in 2 Peter chapter 3. And if all these things are to be dissolved, the Bible challenges us. What sort of person should we be? In all holiness and righteousness. Talks about a new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. If you've ever watched a bit of Star Trek, it sounds like a Borg cube about 1,200 miles on an edge. If you were able to see it from space, you would see the new earth with a big square stuck on it somewhere. There'd be no more sin. There'd be no more murders, lies, thefts, false witnesses. The Bible talks about everybody who is dead in trespasses and sins standing before the great white throne of judgment 100% again, and each and every one of them thrown into the lake of fire because they hated God. Friends, there's a lot of numbers in the Bible. If you were to take maybe one or two just by themselves, you might even call them coincidence. But when you take them all together, and so many of them, and all the signs and promises that God has given us, you can't help but say there is a God. And it's all very well saying, well, I have this list of numbers, I know there's a God. At the very beginning of our scriptures this morning, what did the Lord say? You believe in God? Believe also in me. Trust me as your Savior. It's all well and good knowing there's a God. What does the Bible also say? The devils also believe, but they tremble because they know judgment's coming for them. The Lord says, believe in me. Believe in me, and someday you'll have a mansion in heaven. I want to plead with you not to ignore these numbers, these many of which are historical facts, and some of them are future facts that are going to be revealed in very, very short order. These are history. These are real. These are noted. These can't be refuted. And someday, people are going everywhere are going to have to bow the knee and say Jesus Christ is Lord. I read a very interesting note, I think it was on Facebook, where it says, the facts don't care about your feelings. The facts just are. And you can either get upset with them, or you can learn from them and make them your friend. But there is a God in heaven. He has shown us his love for us through history and through individual meetings with souls that came to him at the foot of the cross and being saved from their sins and the changes that are made in their lives, viewable not only to everybody else, but understood and felt by the person who turned up there. It's all for real. God loves you and gave his son so that he would pay for your sins on the cross of Calvary. I pray you please make the most of that. His promises, his word, time in his presence here. Because if you don't like to do that in this world for an hour or two in the week, I can guarantee you you're not going to like heaven one little bit, because that's all we're going to do. That's all we're going to do. Anyway, thank you for your good time. God bless you. And let's close our Bibles for a little bit. And we'll sing a closing hymn. Hymn number 259, I think we're finished with this morning. 259 is Jesus Saves. If you're able, stand as we sing. Dismiss the meeting, please, if you would.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the sermon, Lord. Thank you for it laid up in our hearts, Lord. For all the people that are listening to it through the CD, Lord, can you speak to them also, Lord, see those that are listening to it. And Lord, give us the cares, Lord, give our country, Lord. Can you help us and the people that have COVID, Lord, and stop people from dying, Lord, and make them consider their destination, especially what Mark's saying about the eternal destination of people, Lord, that's on the broad road to hell, Lord. Save their souls, Lord. And might they wake them up as well. Before all, they just stop the wash from appearing, Lord, and give the people of Ukraine, Lord, and provide and protect them as well, Lord. The persecuted church throughout the world, Lord, love them in trouble, Lord. Know that they're being prayed for, and Lord, that you love us, them, Lord, and pray for them and their families, Lord, are being persecuted in all countries like China and Africa, and Lord, North Korea, and Russia, all the countries are persecuted, mm-hmm. Lord, that people may see the sacrifice of the Christian, Lord. I may see that Jesus is good, Lord, and a wonderful Savior to put their trust in for their salvation, Lord. Pray for the Jews, Lord, save the Jews as well, Lord, in their land, live from any trouble, Lord. Bless them and keep them, Lord. And pray with them as well, Lord. Pray for our country, Lord, and help us, Lord, to talk to people about Jesus, Lord, and to put leaflets through the word, Lord, and to talk about Jesus. Lord, pray for this day, Lord, give us a problem, bring them to just a point in time, live from any trouble, pray for them and keep them as well, Lord. Give us to put our hopes and safety, Lord, to subscribe to one person into your presence. Tonight, Lord, and Lord, give us the gifts for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.